the name of Jesus, amen. As those crowds sat down on the mountainside and listened to Jesus, they undoubtedly had many worries. Imagine living the life of a peasant in ancient Palestine. Making do from one day to the next could not have been easy. Would that arid climate produce enough food? Would the sheep produce sufficient wool to clothe yet another child on the way? Obviously, they had plenty to worry about. And compared to 21st century Americans, even destitute seminarians, Jesus was very clearly addressing a matter of daily concern to his hearers. But what about us? Do our Lord's words give us any direction beyond the obvious advice not to worry? Or have we advanced so far, at least economically, that perhaps these are no longer issues that we have to concern ourselves with? I think you know the answer to that question. Because in truth, our lives are often filled with worry. We worry about everything, about the rising cost of gas and food, the bills that pile up each month, increasing costs for health care, how to raise children in an increasingly secular world. What Jesus calls on you to do is to stop worrying. But when he asks that, says that, what is he actually saying? Suggesting that maybe we don't have to budget, don't try to save, or even better yet, don't be worried about going into debt? Could it be that he really wants of you is that he wants you to examine or re-examine your life? To ask that hard question, who really is my God? Is it the God whose providential care is beyond question? Or is it the God of our own choosing? We need to understand that anyone who hears these words of Jesus cannot avoid the sting of the law as we are forced to consider those questions. At no other time in the history of mankind have we ever enjoyed the sumptuous lifestyle that we in the Western world enjoy right now. Sure, some have more than others, but we all have plenty. We have so much stuff, in fact, that it's very tempting to confuse our needs with our wants. And so we come to this mistaken conclusion that we need things that we really don't need. We convince ourselves that lives would stop if we didn't have our cell phones, or that without cable TV and broadband internet connection, well, we're just behind the times. What would you do without your iPod, your BlackBerry, your GPS? Jesus wasn't joking when he said that you cannot serve two masters. Yet Satan would tempt us to believe that we can. And the temptation is then ever before us to try to walk that tightrope of serving God, but yet not wanting to serve him alone. So we pray, Lord, you're my master. You'll always be. I'll love you with all my heart and soul and mind. But please, don't ask too much of me. Don't make my life too uncomfortable. What is that but a bargain with the devil? But note the solution to this dilemma that Jesus offers. He doesn't give us easy answers. He doesn't enumerate the needs that we ought to have and then be satisfied, or catalog the things that are within the parameters of what we should have in this life and not worry about the rest. Instead, Jesus calls on us to completely reorder our lives, telling us to seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. In other words, to have just one master and to seek all good things from him. And where are you able to do that? Where do you go except to those places where our Lord has promised that he himself will be there? To his very means of grace, by which he gives the righteousness that becomes our righteousness. In other words, to have one master and to seek all good things from him means that we will seek first the very life of God that was poured out on the cross for the salvation of the world. We will seek first the one thing needful, the living and abiding word of God, that word by which he reveals his love to us. We will seek first the word made flesh, that very word whose body and blood is given us in this sacrament, miraculously uniting the master and his servant. What Jesus intends for us is that our lives are so reordered that they are completely oriented toward him. precisely so that we can be free from the worry of all the other needs of this life. What does Jesus say? Seek him first, and all these other things will be added to you. Certainly, that doesn't solve in a magical way all of life's challenges and troubles. There may be times when there isn't enough at the end of the month to cover all of the bills. Decisions will have to be made as to whether something that we want is really what we need. But when we seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, then what we will come to see is that all the things that he's talking about are the very daily bread for which he has invited us and even commanded us to pray. And the daily bread that we receive solely from his hand, whether it is much or perhaps sometimes little. Nevertheless, we learn to receive that daily bread with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving that is directed toward the giver of those gifts. In the final analysis, that is the very nature of the God whom we serve. He's our giver God, the one who gave his dearest treasure for us. He continues to give his life to you with grace so overflowing that your cup will never be empty. So come and seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and then dwell in his peace, which is beyond all understanding. In the name of Jesus, amen.